chapter 19. I'll be reading the first 10 verses. That can be found on page 878 or 878 of the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 19. Before I read, would you join me once again in seeking the Lord in prayer? Almighty God and Father, we ask that you would bless us with the ministry of your Spirit, to convict us of sin and wrongdoings, and to take the truth of Christ and apply it to our hearts, that we would receive the comfort that the Holy Spirit brings. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to focus our minds, that we would be able to see Christ, who he is for us. How does the Son of Man respond to sinners? That we would come into this knowledge, and that we would hear your word and receive it with joy. Sanctify us in truth, Lord. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 19, the first 10 verses. He entered Jericho, he referring to Jesus, and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. And so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they being the crowd, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." In our passage this morning, we see a very unlikely man seeking Jesus. And yet what's even more surprising is we see that Jesus is seeking after this unlikely individual. Luke gives us a story of two seekers. He uses the same word to describe both Zacchaeus' actions and Christ. But we meet Zacchaeus as the first seeker. He is a chief tax collector and was rich. Why does Luke add that, "and was rich"? Well, it's Luke's way of letting his original audience know that Zacchaeus was corrupt. And if you were going to be a tax collector and be rich because of it, you were cheating people. So he's letting us know right off, you know, in the beginning of the narrative, Zacchaeus is not the guy we would like. He isn't someone who we're rooting for. And we see clearly the crowd isn't rooting for Zacchaeus either. He wasn't just a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector, which means that because of this, he had a certain level of authority, maybe had some comfort and rule in this society. But everyone hated him for it. Now, he wasn't a ruler that people appreciated and said, "It's good that Zacchaeus has some power and influence in our society." Now, even those who weren't supposed to be hating people, like the rabbis, had some very interesting teachings about tax collectors. According to the rabbinic literature at the time, being a tax collector, just having the occupation, made you and your family unclean. What does that mean? You know, does it mean just, hey, you need to take, you know, a bath? No, to be unclean means you are defiled. Don't come to worship. Don't come to festival and Passover. Your very presence makes us dirty. Another example in the rabbinic teaching was how tax collecting changed how certain commandments were taught. Hey, don't lie. Okay, don't bear false witness against your neighbor unless he's a tax collector. Well, then it's condoned. No one is rooting for Zacchaeus. And if we were there, we wouldn't be rooting for him either. But what do we find Zacchaeus seeking to do? He's not looking for a payday. He's not looking to rob someone. And he wants to see Jesus. Now, we don't know exactly why he wants to see Jesus. Maybe he had heard Jesus talk about a Pharisee and a tax collector. He would know what the other rabbis were saying about tax collectors. But here's this man who is saying that if a tax collector were to be humble, to beg for mercy before the Lord, that he could be justified, even over and against that Pharisee. And so Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. But he's got a problem. Well, two problems. He's short, and there's a crowd that seemingly wants to get in his way. Now, why am I saying I think the crowd wants to get in his way? Well, because if he was a respected member of society, they would have moved. Remember, he has a little bit of authority and rule here. But I think the crowd has taken this opportunity to take Zacchaeus down a notch, to get some revenge. Well, here's that money lover who has caused so much harm in our community. Let's get our revenge. And so you can almost see the crowd trying to be as tall as possible, making their shoulders as wide as possible so that Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. This is not the first time the crowd has gotten in somebody's way. You'll remember right before our passage, as Jesus is getting close to Jericho, a blind man calls out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." How does the crowd respond to this blind man begging for mercy? Shh. Don't call out to Jesus. Be silent. Crowds and mobs never have compassion on outsiders. But praise God that Jesus does. Now, Jesus is not swayed by the crowds. Well, what is Zacchaeus going to do? Now, how bad does he want to see Jesus? How is he going to be able to get a glimpse of Christ? Well, Luke gives us his plan in verse 4. And so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. There's nothing striking to us about somebody running or climbing. But you have to remember, we're not Luke's original audience. In Zacchaeus' time and culture, if you were a rich and powerful man, you don't run. You get the servant to do it. You don't climb up a tree. What do you need up a tree? And if you need something up a tree, see the previous answer. Call the servant. If Zacchaeus was to run, he probably would have kicked up dust and drawn attention to himself. But he's willing to do this just to get a glimpse of Jesus. It was interesting as I was reading for this sermon. During President Kennedy's term, the American ambassador to Egypt decided that he wanted to climb up a tree to fix a light fixture. And this made news there. Someone had to tell him, "Sir, if you are a powerful man, again, call the servant. Don't climb a tree to fix a light bulb." Zacchaeus is willing to be a fool up in the tree if it means that he can see Jesus. He's not looking to see Jesus perform a miracle. He's not bringing a sibling or a loved one to Jesus. He just wants to look at him. But didn't Jesus say this would happen? That those who would desire to see Jesus would remove any obstacle, any barrier to having him. Here's the words from Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus has told us that when someone sees the worth of Christ, that they're willing to lose things, sell all of their possessions to have him. And this is what we see with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is willing to look like a fool in front of people who already hate him, just to be able to get a glimpse of Jesus. But the Lord has more in store for our friend. And the author of Hebrews was not exaggerating when he said that God is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. Zacchaeus is getting ready to receive that call that Luke gives us back in chapter 5. Do you remember back in chapter 5 where Levi throws this feast for Jesus? Hey, not only is the Messiah, the anointed one, come, but he's willing to eat with tax collectors and sinners. And so he throws this feast, and the Pharisees show up and they ask Jesus, "What are you doing eating with these people?" I think they did that hand motion. What are you doing eating with these sinners? And Jesus says, "I haven't come to call the healthy, the pretty. I've come to call sinners to repentance." And this is the call that Zacchaeus receives. A call to turn away from his money-loving life. A call to receive Jesus joyfully. And he receives that call in the weirdest place. He's up in a tree. Imagine when Zacchaeus gets the opportunity to share his testimony. So there I am, up in the tree, watching Jesus walk towards me. And of course, if Jesus can see Zacchaeus up in the tree, so can everyone else. So maybe they were yelling at him or taunting him. And Zacchaeus would then say, but then I heard my name. And it wasn't from the crowd, it was Jesus. Jesus called out to me and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I need to stay at your house." Here is what's so shocking about the grace of God. You remember what we read earlier in Daniel 7. Here's the Son of Man, all power, all authority, all dominion given to him. And what does he do with it? He calls out Zacchaeus. He calls out the greedy little man and says that I need to stay at your house. I would like to be received by you, Zacchaeus. Jesus is not just content with us just getting a glimpse of him. But he wants our joy to be full. He wants to be received by us. Jesus isn't waiting to be found. He is seeking. He is the seeker. A generous God seeking a greedy sinner. The most worthy God seeking a worthless man. It doesn't sound right. But that's what the grace of God details. And the crowd understands that this is wrong, that this shouldn't happen, right? For Jesus to stay at Zacchaeus' house means solidarity with this tax collector, this Roman collaborator. It also means Jesus is becoming defiled. For Zacchaeus to receive him is going to mean a meal. He's going to stay the night at his house. And so people see that Jesus is willing to be a friend to Zacchaeus. Imagine you see Jesus seeking after someone who is the reason why you and your spouse are having financial arguments, is the reason why some of your children may have gone without a meal. Zacchaeus is robbing people. And yet Jesus is seeking to save him. He is stooping to the lowest of social lows to be welcomed by this man, to bear the reproach of Zacchaeus so that he can be saved. And the crowd is outraged. Now we can see it in verse 7. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. I mean, that's not simple narration. It's not like you're someone in the crowd who can't see what's happening and they say, "Oh, he's gone to be with that sinner." This is a charge. How dare you, Jesus, go and be with that sinner? Christian, have you forgotten the reproach that Christ carried for you? Do you believe that when Christ called out to you, that if there was a crowd, they would say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense. Jesus should call out to that person." No, the crowd would have a long list of offenses to bring before Jesus. "Don't go to that person, Lord. He's angry. He belittles people. Don't go to her, Lord. She's selfish. She only cares about herself." What is Jesus doing? He's going to be the guest of a wicked man. He is going into the dirt and muck of Zacchaeus' sin to bring him out, to call him to repentance. And even those examples that I gave about, you know, someone being angry or selfish, I still feel like that might just be too cute of an example. Jesus is seeking those who are drenched in immorality, those struggling with addictions. Jesus, the Son of Man, is calling them, forsake this way of life and receive me. Be filled with joy. Make me your gain. And then, of course, there is the cross. Why is the Son of Man being beaten, bloodied? Why is Jesus suffocating on a tree? Because he's willing to bear the reproach of Zacchaeus. He's willing to bear your sin and mine. Zacchaeus was willing to be the fool up a tree if it meant see Jesus. But here is Christ, the Son of Man, who is willing to be the accursed on a tree for sinners. This is the shock of grace. And friends, if you forget what Jesus has carried for you, your joy in him will be little. You will not have compassion on others. If you don't think about what Jesus carried for you, you will be so prone to look down on others. You will be prone to join the crowd and say, Jesus wouldn't seek this person. Zacchaeus is receiving this shocking grace, and he is filled with joy, a joy that is making him part with a way of life that he thought was gain. Now, I want to make a comment, because sometimes there's a school of thought that when we read narratives like this, it means that Jesus actually isn't telling people to change. Now, they'll say, yeah, he is going to the low places. He is seeking out sinners, but he's just accepting them as is. He's not telling them to repent or change. But all throughout Luke's gospel, I think in some senses Luke's gospel could be called a tax collector's gospel, it makes it clear that Jesus is certainly willing to accept crooked tax collectors. But he calls them to repentance. He calls them to change. I referenced Luke 5 earlier. I've come to call sinners to repentance. And in Luke 3, we have the preaching of John the Baptist. Well, here tax collectors come and say, so you're saying we can be saved? We can participate in what the Messiah is bringing. And he says, yes, repent, place your faith in him, and don't take more money than your job requires. Zacchaeus is accepted by God. But the joy that he receives from having Jesus is so great, it is impossible for Zacchaeus to remain the same. And I think that's what we see in verse 8. We see aspects of this repentance that Zacchaeus has. I'll read it for us. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Now, there's three comments I'd like to make. One, I find it interesting that Zacchaeus is presenting to Jesus one particular sin. I'm sure if a seminary student was near Zacchaeus, they would quickly tell him, you've got other sins than just this, Zacchaeus. So why is it this one? Why is he presenting what he is resolved to do now about money? Because there's a difference between the sins that we fall victim to and the sins that we serve. We all struggle with impatience, anger, deceit, but not all of us serve a bottle or serve a screen or serve sexual pleasure. Sins, particular sins, enslave. And Zacchaeus is saying to Christ before the whole crowd that this money, wealth that I worshipped and thought was gain, now it is an instrument in which I can display my repentance. Now I can use my money to show that I have Christ, that I don't need to cheat and to steal to get wealth. The second thing I think is he's acknowledging clearly that this is sin. If I've defrauded someone, if I've done wrong, he's acknowledging that he has done wicked things to gain money. And the third comment that I'd like to make, it seems that Zacchaeus knows that now that he has received Jesus, and this isn't in order to gain Jesus, to be accepted by Jesus, now that I have been called by him, he has to lose. Zacchaeus is definitely going to experience financial difficulty after this. He can't abuse his authority. He can't rob people anymore. He's going to experience some financial difficulties. He's going to experience financial difficulties because of how grand his repentance is. Leviticus 6:5 and Numbers 5:7 says that you just needed to restore the amount taken plus one-fifth. And Zacchaeus is going above and beyond that. His gain in Christ is so great that he says, that's not enough. Take more. He believes wholeheartedly that Jesus is greater than any amount of loss that he could experience. Now, imagine how confused people would be when they were visited now by Zacchaeus. They wouldn't have to worry about, you know, clenching their wallets or their pocketbooks, but here's Zacchaeus talking about that joy and gain that he has in Christ. Zacchaeus would encounter loss, but he didn't take count of it. He wouldn't, you know, list all the things that he would lose because Jesus is that good. The gain that he has found in Christ far outweighs any loss that he could experience. It's like, you know, let's say you're hosting some friends that you haven't seen in a while. You lose money because you got to buy the tasty foods and the, you know, the good beverages. You lose sleep because, you know, you stay up to tell that one story for the 14th time that cracks, you know, you and all your friends up. You could be using that time to do work, to be productive. You're losing out on that opportunity, but you don't keep track of those things because you love the people that you're with. You know that what you're experiencing is gain. And this is what we see in Zacchaeus. He's not worried about what he's losing because he is focused on what he has gained. 2020 has been lost for a lot of people. Christian, I would encourage you, remember your gain. Focus on the one who you have gained, who has called out to you, who sought you. You can get the career. You can gain the career and then get fired. You can gain that, you know, cute person that completes you and has a great personality and lose them. Or more than likely, you know, find out that not all that glitters is gold. You can get the degree and never get work related to that degree. There are so many gains that cannot deal with loss. But there is no other gain that makes loss and light, makes loss light and temporary than Christ. And we see this. This is what the disciples and apostles witnessed to, not only with their writings, but with their very lives. Consider the 12 apostles, all but John, you know, violently martyred. Yes, take my life, but I won't lose Jesus. Or there's the words of Paul, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. And there's a temptation to say, he's got to be exaggerating, right? No, friends. For Paul, gaining Christ, being found in him, was that great of a gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Or our brothers and sisters overseas who go to great risk to have Jesus, to receive him joyfully. To be imprisoned, to be in beheaded. I mean, that's the witness of our brothers and sisters overseas to authorities and rulers. Take my head, but you can't take Jesus from me. Where else in the world can we find that great of a gain? Where else can we find such joy that the loss of life is light and temporary? Zacchaeus went to great effort thinking that the best he could get of Jesus was a glimpse. But the Son of Man, even today, is seeking sinners, seeking those who the crowd despise, seeking those with guilty consciences, seeking those with sins in their past that bring them to shame and make them want to hide. Jesus is seeking them and calling them to repentance, to come and be received by Jesus so that their joy may be full. Friends, Jesus is not content with you simply getting a glimpse. but he wants your joy in him to be full. Or would you join me as I pray to that end? Lord, I thank you that you are willing to stoop so low to pursue sinners. That the one who the crowd hates and despises, you are willing to not only be received by, Lord, but to die on a cross. You give your life for the wicked. I pray that your Spirit, Lord, would impress upon us this shocking reality about grace, about the gospel. That men like Zacchaeus are not just pardoned, but Jesus is seeking them. I pray that you would strengthen this church, strengthen our witness as we seek to see others come into the knowledge of that truth. That Jesus is not content with them just getting a glimpse of him, having a vague knowledge or understanding of him. But he wants to be welcomed into their home. He wants their joy to be full. He wants to be their greatest gain. Would you accomplish this, Lord, by your word and by your Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. The Son of Man.